Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be in God's house. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Let's take a moment to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Give us this opportunity to respond to your invitation to come and worship you. And may we do that. Know that you are here. Your presence is with us. Your power is with us, Lord. And just guide us in all that we do. Father, just thank you for bringing us to your house today. Help us as we sing, as we pray, as we fellowship, and as we preach, Lord. Lead us in all things. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Are you ready to answer some questions? You want a hard question, an easy question?
Easy.
A regular question, a good question?
Just lay it on.
Lay it on you? Okay, now. So I've asked people this question personally.
Thank you.
And some people have gotten mad at me. Some people have gotten inquisitive. Some say, why do you ask that? Are you making that personal? What's the deal? And I asked myself the same question. So here it is. Are you ready? Do you believe in heaven?
Yes.
Are you going to go?
Yes.
You want to go soon?
Yes.
Yes. There you go. Some might be ready to go, but you know, it looks like though Christ can come back at any time. Amen? Looks like sometimes when I look at the doctor's report, I don't have to wait on him. I'm going to go on my own. It just might happen. You know, that's possible. It could happen to any of us. But now, are you looking forward with great anticipation the opportunity to be in this wonderful, glorious place that God has gone and prepared? Jesus said, I go before you and I prepare a place, and if it weren't so, I wouldn't tell you, and I'm going to come back. And the Greek word is fetch, and I'm going to fetch you. I'm going to take you and take you with me forever. And that's either going to come at a time when Christ raptures the church or when we go at a time of death and he calls us home, but it's going to happen. Now, here's the ultimate question. Sometimes it's upsetting to people, sometimes it's challenging to them. You may have heard me ask you this, or even asked this from the pulpit before, but it bears being repeated and asked again. Think about this. How many people will be in heaven directly through your results because of you? How many people will be in heaven because of you? And some people be kind of smarty pants and go, well, nobody, because Jesus is the one who takes us to heaven. You know, that's true. And I'm not indicating that you have the power within yourself to open up that gate and say, you can come by my authority, but if you can't, that's only Jesus's. But you can lead up to that by being the person who will testify, the person who will witness, somebody who will simply tell somebody the gospel, which is the good news. That's what that means, and it's good news. And sometimes, especially in this day and age, we don't hear much good news. And if you remember some time back, I put together a deal with how to evangelize and wrote some things out and suggested that's one way to start. You just come up to somebody, hey, you want to hear some good news? They think you're going to tell them that you won the lottery or, you know, something grand's going to take place or they just want a new car or something. But better than all that, the good news is Jesus Christ gave his life for you so that your sins could be forgiven and you'd have an opportunity to know him, to worship him, to experience him, and it'll be for all of eternity. Now, I'm going to do as I did last week. I'm going to give you an invitation for the invitation. And I'm going to ask you to seriously consider walking the aisle today for the express purpose of saying you want to be one who will be a testifier, somebody who will testify about Jesus Christ. Somebody who's willing to say, I would like to be someone who witnesses. I would like to tell somebody the good news. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to get you to make a commitment today. that from this day forward, you're going to be just that. You want to be somebody who's going to be a soul winner, somebody who wants to testify, somebody who wants to gladly tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying you're going to become a preacher, you're going to become an evangelist or anything along that line, but I just want you to be one who will testify who Christ is, and that he's given you his good news, and he wants you to share that with others. So when we have that point, we come and sing, Jesus paid it all. I want you to realize that's exactly what he did. He paid it for you to pass it on. And just like that song, pass it on, pass it on. Share it with others, and that's what we'll do. In the book of Acts, I don't think I've mentioned it yet, but let me do so now. The book of Acts is where I'll be reading, and it'll be in the 26th chapter. Acts chapter 26. You'll recognize this. I'm sure you've gone over this and read this before. Acts 26, we'll begin with verse 12 and read to verse 23. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around about me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you in this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I know. Now I send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And then continuing in verse 19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do the works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand, witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and he would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Let's pray. Father, lead us in this worship time. Use me as your obedient service in the proclamation of your word. And let all those here listen with interest, listen with spiritual ears, listen with a heart with the idea of changing, listen with the intent to want to tell others the good news. Lead us in this time now, Jesus, and it's in your wonderful name we pray. Amen. How would you like to be empowered to testify for Christ? Would you like that? Say amen. Amen. How would you like to have the ability, that God-given ability, to tell others about Jesus Christ? Would you like that?
Yes.
Because that's exactly what Scripture teaches us. In fact, that's what Paul was trying to tell Agrippa. You see, Paul had gotten in trouble. Paul was doing exactly what God had asked him to do, what Jesus had called him to do on that road to Damascus. He's getting himself in trouble. He's already traveled a lot of different places as he alliterated right there, and as we see in the Scripture. But one of the things that he pointed out here, he's saying that having received or obtained help from God, he said to King Agrippa, I stand to this day to testify. because God has helped me. God has called me. God has directed me. God has empowered me. So here's what I want you to realize. If you haven't already, you need to realize that God can use you in a powerful way to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples. Do you believe that's possible? Do you believe that God can use you in a wonderful, powerful, miraculous way, that by your words and by your actions and by your testimony, you'll be able to bring people to the claims of Jesus Christ, let them see the cross, His death, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, and His promise that He's coming back? Now see, that's just a nutshell of the gospel. And if you can grasp that, hold on to that, you can share that good news. Now some people, it's almost like an intimidating thought that me or moi, you think I'm the one who can go out there and do that? You think I can do that and help other people? I mean, every one of us has seen other Christians who've been serving the Lord. They've been fruitful in their ministries. And you think, well, how can I do that? Well, you can do it if you do it the same way they do it. They allow themselves to be empowered by God through His Holy Spirit. And here's what you need to understand. The effectiveness of the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't anything, has nothing to do with human talent, with your personality, or your certain set of skills. You understand that? And some people say, well, you know, I gotta go to every soul-winning class. You can do that all your life. I've known people who do that and have not ever won anybody to Christ because they think it's going to take a set of skills. No, it's good to know what the Scripture teaches and understand what Christ tells us, but it's not a human talent. It doesn't come because, you know, somebody, oh, well, somebody, you know, I get this comment that people say, I've heard this my whole life, God didn't call me to evangelism. God didn't call me to evangelize, as they want to go ahead and departmentalize what winning people all is about evangelism, and say, well, I don't have that calling on my life. And some people say, well, I don't, you know, they'll say anything. I don't have a calling on preaching. That's why I don't preach. I don't have a calling to be on this. Let me tell you what, the Bible gives every single one of us a calling, just a command, the instructions that we all should win souls. And you know what the Bible even says at one place? Wise people win souls. So you want to be wise? You want to be a wise guy? You want to have wisdom? Then win souls. And it's not about your skills, not about your personality, it's not about your talent, rather it is the power of God working through you. That's it. He uses us as a conduit. He uses us as individuals, but He uses us as a way to reach other people by us opening our mouths, by us having a heart that loves others. Remember what Jesus said? The greatest thing to do is love God and love your neighbor, love others. And if we're not telling them about the gospel, if we're not telling them the good news, we're leaving something out. We're too busy focusing and concentrating on all the bad news. And we're absolutely been inundated with the countless numbers and everything about bad news. I bet you every one of you today is sharing something in the way of bad news. Amen? Something you heard on the internet, something you picked up on TikTok, or something you saw on YouTube. You said, oh, preacher, I don't use all that stuff. Well, something you heard on the radio, something you saw on TV, something your neighbor proclaimed. You heard or spoken something about bad news today. But have you done anything about good news and recognized that that's got to be God working through you to have this effective ministry? It's a complete reliance. If you're ever going to take into consideration to fulfill what God has called every one of us to do, it's a complete reliance upon the Holy Spirit of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God that only has the capability of convicting a lost soul. You, he uses to share the good news, to have the love for another soul, to be concerned about somebody who may be winding up in an eternity in hell because you didn't tell them about Jesus Christ. Some of the worst times of my life when I was convinced that God wanted me to talk to somebody, and these are horrible times and things about, oh, I put it off. Oh, I didn't do anything about it. Oh, I know this person doesn't follow Jesus, but Lord, just put them on my mind, and they die. And they die. And I say, that's a missed opportunity. Even if I felt God had told me to talk to somebody, I put it off and say, I'll get to it later. And then all of a sudden this person dies. Unexpected. You go, I blew it. God was trying to use me. And I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention. That's very disheartening. You have to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit, because people can only be born again by the Spirit of God. Not just you, it has to be God's word. You know what he says about his word? You share my word, it won't come back empty. It won't come back void. Tell others about Jesus Christ. They might get mad at you, get upset, but people are saved by the word of God and not the oratory or the speech of man. It's all through God. And if you would be willing to step up and step forward and say, I'm ready to take on that task. I want God to use me as a vessel so I can tell others about Jesus Christ. I'm going to be so excited about the good news that that's all I want to do. You think in a couple of months from now, people will just be walking around and coming up to a complete stranger and go, Merry Christmas! Am I right? Are we going to be so, you know, stuck in the mud that we can't even wish somebody Merry Christmas? I love Christmas. It has nothing to do with the gifts. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And it's all about this time of year. I think God absolutely orchestrated this whole thing so one time of year everybody in the world is focused on his son Jesus Christ. Whether they're drinking at a party, whether they're giving gifts, whether they're looking for something, whether they're for Christmas bonus, whatever, it still points to the name Christ. And please, whatever you do, don't send me a note and change Christ with an X. Happy Xmas. And some people say, oh, that's the Greek letter. And the X represents Christos or Christ. Write it out. Don't be that lazy. Amen? Because it's the name of Jesus Christ that changes. It's the Spirit of God. It's only the Spirit of God that can reach into people's souls, convict them of their sin, cause them to repent of all that, to be regenerated, and for their lives to be transformed. That can only happen through the power of God. Amen? Not your flowery words, not your good works, not your pretense or intention, whatever. It is and must be by the power of God. And yours to open yourself up and just tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Tell them about Jesus. They'll change, they'll transform. And it requires that we focus on Jesus and the good news. And you have to talk about the instrumental things, the important things, the principles, that the good news is Jesus died, he was buried, he was resurrected for the sole purpose to bear the penalty of our sins and to secure our pardon, our forgiveness. Jesus Christ is the only way.
Amen.
You will ever make it to heaven. It doesn't matter what you give to the church. It doesn't matter how you serve the church. It doesn't matter about how nice or good of a person you are or you think you are. It only matters that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and follow through. It might even be today that during this invitation, you may get something clarified. I've met many people in churches, been in churches 40, 50, 60 years, and lost as a baseball in tall weeds. They're just lost. They've just done everything that they were told to do by religion. or by the denomination, and they thought they were secured. But if you're in that position and there's any, just a smidgen of doubt in your mind that you're not right with Jesus Christ, you've never been saved, if you have no desire, listen closely, if you have no desire to tell anybody about Jesus, I don't believe you're saved. Do you understand that? If there's not something that's swelling up inside you that says, I want to share the good news with people, you probably don't belong to Jesus.
Well, I belong to the First Baptist Church.
So what? You've got to belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? You got to follow Jesus Christ. You have to do what he says. So it requires a focus on Christ and all that he did. Because, you know, when you share the gospel, you will exalt Christ. You will lift him up. You'll give the good news about Christ out there. And you know what he said? Jesus Christ himself said this, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. That's why we say look to the cross. That's what Christ meant when he was lifted up on that cross. And you can get that recorded in the Gospel of John. He says, if I be lifted up, it'll draw all men to myself. It's the power of God and the power of God alone that brings people to salvation. Don't depend upon your skills. Don't depend upon your personality. Don't depend upon your human talent. It's the power of God. So if you're willing to make a decision today that I'm ready, Pastor, to say that I want that power of God to come into my life. I want to be willing to start looking at people's lives in such a way I consider whether or not they belong to Jesus. And I don't want you to think that I'm suggesting you keep a tally card. Well, I led this one to Jesus. That's one that's going to go to heaven because of me. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I've heard preachers that. I heard a preacher on television one day make a comment. I've been responsible for a million people coming to the Lord. And I went, how can you even count that high, you know? How can you even, personally, well, he had television, had radio, been doing it for years, and he turned and looked at the camera and he said, I'm serious about that million. You know what I did? Back in the day, you had to walk to the TV, you had to make an effort, you didn't push a button, you had to go turn a dial. Not turn that down, I turned that preacher off. I said, you know what, all he's doing is bragging. Because the next thing he wanted was money. Go back and watch him again. He wanted money so he could buy his plane so he can fly somewhere else to preach Jesus. It's amazing what people do in the name of Christ. There's people out there that'll scam you in the name of Christ. And what we need to do is share the name of Christ with others wherever we go. And if you're willing today to say, hey, I'm going to take that walk up the aisle just to say that I want to be empowered to testify. And that's all. If God's leading you to do that, do it. Some of you might come out of you might come. It doesn't matter. And we won't hold nothing against you or for you because this is between you and God. This is a part of this worship service. And if you're seriously about considering that earlier question, anybody going to be in heaven because of my efforts? Anybody going to be there because I allowed God to empower me to testify to somebody and I have a thrill? I can tell you, the very first person I led to Christ, and it's a memory, it'll stay with me for the rest of my life because it was so wonderful. And because of that, I haven't quit. And I keep doing it. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing, but it's not me. It's through Jesus. It's the power of God that brings people to salvation and to help them grow. So I'm just simply going to tell you this. Don't fear. Don't fear. God will use you. Trust in him, and he will do exactly that. He will empower you to lead others through him. You want to know how to fill this church? You follow through with this commitment. And your sole thing is, I'm going to lead somebody to Christ. I'm going to bring them to church with me and see that they get here. not for numbers, not for head counts, but for salvation. Folks, I'm telling you right now, everything is looking to the good news that Christ is going to return. And I'd like as a preacher to tell you, it's going to be today. It could be tomorrow. But I'm telling you, it seems like it's radically moving faster and faster and faster and faster because this world has become so horrible, decadent, rotten, sinful to the core, selfish, one of my way, people who love pleasure more than they love the presence of God. There's somebody in this community, somebody in your family, that you need to make this commitment for today. Lord, help me to be empowered to testify. So today we just say, Jesus, we collectively, I personally exalt thee. I lift you up. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to testify about you effectively in your power. Is your hope in Jesus? Jesus, if I'm lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Are you ready to do that, to lift up Christ? The song we're singing is Jesus Paid It All. I'll give you the hymn number in just a moment. And we're going to stand together. And if you just want to lay that book down, walk up here. Walk back. Do it as a commitment publicly before the Lord. And we'll go from there. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you come and use this time. You know the request. You know the need. You know the desire that we have, Father, to lead others to you. It's only going to begin when we get excited. We get thrilled. There's a desire in us to share good news, Lord. Father, it's just nothing but bad news. The world needs us. Our family needs us. This community needs us to be filled with your power. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.